Often in the Old Testament, the kings of men thought that they were unstoppable and even worthy to be praised. And in Daniel 3, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and its width 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, I just read that, my bad, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." However, when someone begins to rely on themselves for strength and themselves alone, they always fall. It is at that point of falling that we're faced with the decision to continue to rely on ourselves, to rely on others, or to rely on our God. And men, whether it's ourselves or others, have the tendency to fail. Whenever Absalom had won over the hearts of many Israelites in 2 Samuel, he still ended up failing in his mission and died. If we put our faith in men, especially ourselves, we're setting ourselves up for disappointment and failure. But that isn't to say that men can't help us in our pursuits. In Exodus chapter 17, Moses received help from Aaron and Hur. It was a time for Israel to fight, and God had chosen the way that he had wanted his people to win. In Exodus chapter 17, verse 8, "Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose us some men and go out and fight. Fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand.' So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword." I said before the reading that God had chosen the way in which he wanted his people to win. He could have caused this victory to happen without Moses, without Aaron, Hur, Joshua, or even the army that Joshua commanded. In fact, he chose for Gideon to only take 300 men to get a victory at one point. But in this situation, he decided that he wanted the victory to be assured through Moses keeping his hands raised. And Moses needed help to do it for this extended period of time, so Aaron and Hur helped him. But even in this situation, the victory still did not come from men, but from God. The men were merely the tools that God used to ensure the victory. And by drawing our strength from God instead of from men, we can be assured of several things. The first thing is that we can be assured that we can face difficult tasks. When David faced Goliath, he was facing an incredibly difficult task. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Goliath had come out and he was taunting the Israelites and he was going unchallenged among the people. But in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 32, David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth and he a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it, and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard, and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." When David went out to face Goliath, by all physical standards, he was on the worst end of this challenge. He was smaller, he was younger, he had no armor, and not much experience in battle with another person. He could have easily avoided fighting this champion of the Philistines, and no one really would have thought less of him. He was only there because his father had sent him to his brothers. But instead of backing away from this, He looked to the Lord for strength, and he took that strength, and he was able to go and face Goliath the Philistine, and not only face him, but make the claim that the Lord will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine without being ashamed. The second thing that we know that we will be able to do if we have our strength in God is be rewarded for our hardships. When Nebuchadnezzar had made that golden image in Daniel 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to worship it. As punishment for their disobedience, Daniel 3 and verse 19 says, Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, Did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said to the king, True, O king. Look, he answered, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Here, the furnace was so hot that even the people near it that had cast them in were killed, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not harmed. They had drawn their strength from God and relied on Him whenever they refused to worship that image. And we're not promised that we'll always physically be able to bear what we face for our faith. In fact, if that were true, there would be no martyrs. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were willing to die for what they believed in their faith without worshiping this idol that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And by drawing our strength from God, we can have that same determination in facing whatever it is that we wish to do, especially concerning our faith. And our ultimate spiritual reward will be far greater. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, we're told, Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Surely Nebuchadnezzar could have destroyed their body if God had not stopped him, but they would have faced a far greater punishment if they had actually fallen and worshipped this image. And the final point from relying on God for our strength is that he knows what is best for us, and he'll answer us in his own time and in his own way. In Matthew 6, we're told not to worry about our lives, what we will eat or what we will wear, because if God takes care of the animals and the plants, he'll take care of us too. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add 1 cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. If we're putting God first, everything else will fall into place. And more than that, we'll be taken care of in our physical life until it is time for us to go home. That doesn't mean we'll always have everything we want, and often we want more than we have, or want it to come more quickly than it does. But God says in Isaiah, For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And it's great comfort to know that our God is watching over us, that he'll take care of us, and that by putting our faith in him, our ultimate spiritual reward that is in the future will be far greater than whatever we can attain here. But it's at this point that we would have to ask ourselves the question, who we are relying on. Without that sacrifice of Jesus, we would have no hope, because man alone cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. It took the sacrifice that Jesus made for us to be able to enter. So on this side of life, our strength can't help us. Only in the physical sense can we do anything, and even that comes from God. In the spiritual sense, we could do nothing without Jesus. So there will come a time when we must meet our God, and we'll have to face that question of who we relied on, who we looked to, and where our strength comes from. In Acts chapter 26, King Agrippa was in a position of great authority. He was able to do basically what he wanted in the area. And so, because of this authority, he began to rely on himself. When Paul was brought before him on his way through the trials to go eventually to Caesar, he talks to Agrippa some about Christianity. And in verse 24, Acts chapter 26, the scripture reads, "Now as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, 'Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad.' But he said, 'I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. For the king, before whom I also speak freely, knows these things. For I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention, since this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe.' Then Agrippa said to Paul, 'You almost persuade me to become a Christian.' And Paul said, 'I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains.'" By having that power in his position, Agrippa was only almost persuaded to become a Christian. He was relying on himself and the power that he had. He could look around him, and it's possible that he thought, "Why would I need God in this situation?" But far greater than the physical sense is the spiritual sense that we need our God to help us through. A similar situation before this is with Felix, that Paul was talking to Felix about spiritual things. Felix told him, "At a more convenient time, I will call upon you to return." And we don't know if he ever did that or not. And so both of these men, through relying on their own strength, missed their opportunity to follow God and put their faith in Him, draw their strength from Him. If you've relied on yourself through your entire life, eventually you're going to find that there's a part of you that's lacking. The first steps to put your Lord first in your life could be taken tonight. If you confess your faith and are baptized into Him, then you could be on that path toward heaven. Don't look back or look to yourself for strength. Instead, reach forward to the goal, and eventually we'll be with Him in heaven. Agrippa and Felix missed their opportunities, but now you have an opportunity tonight that you might be able to follow your Lord and eventually be with Him in heaven. So don't delay. Give Him your life tonight.